Alexandria Hollett describes herself like this.
As a poet, I'm an academic, I'm an activist, I'm an educator, all rolled into one, and I never want to let any of those identities go.
She can pinpoint the moment when those identities coalesced. It was March 31st, 2015. She was one of about 200 people gathered at Bloomington's Karst Farm Park, protesting Indiana's Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which had been signed into law by Governor Mike Pence just 5 days earlier. She was scheduled to perform her poem toward the end of the rally. In an ideal world, she would have had it memorized, but this piece had to be fast-tracked, so she was clutching a piece of paper with some notes on it.
It was crumpled. It was like there were so many marks all over it. I had written and rewritten this poem. It was sweat-stained.
Her stage was a picnic table.
I felt as if I was going to throw up. I could not pay attention to anything that anyone else was saying. My hands were literally shaking, and I blacked out.
This moment was a lifetime in the making, starting in Plymouth, Indiana.
I was raised Catholic. I went to Catholic school. You know, I went to church every single Sunday with my family. Never missed.
She was a theater kid. And then in high school, it was speech team.
It was a lot of rigor. I mean, it's super nerdy to talk about this, but if you are a part of a creative community and you want to learn how to perform for an audience, you need to find someone like the coaches that I had in speech.
She learned the little things, like pausing before you start speaking to make sure the audience is with you. And she learned the big things, like how to research and write persuasive pieces. Then it was off to Indiana University.
And there were a lot of people telling me about practicality and what I should be doing in terms of making money later on.
She had her eye on being a teacher, so she studied English, Spanish, and Italian. She found her way to Chicago to teach sixth grade. She created a poetry unit for that class. And she also served as her school's union delegate during the Chicago teachers' strike of 2012.
Once you see injustice, you can't unsee it. I want to help other people get to that place of critical consciousness where they are able to feel empowered enough to make a change.
And then in 2014, it was on to the next.
I came back to IU to do a doctoral program, and I thought I was going to be a professor and a researcher, and now this is complicating that narrative.
Alexandria Hollett came to slam poetry late in life. Well, she says 30 feels old when most everyone else is in their early 20s. And while many slam poets are in a club or they compete as part of a team, her introduction to it all was in a class called Hip Hop Literacies.
And so this was actually an assignment for me where I had to talk about who I was as a researcher. And I signed up to do this particular project way early on in the semester, not knowing that this was going to coincide with what was happening with RFRA.
The Religious Freedom Restoration Act. She followed the whole discussion from when the Indiana Senate passed the bill in February 2015 to when it was up for a vote in the House in late March. Governor Mike Pence signed it into law on a Thursday. At that moment, her idea about the assignment shifted. As with anything academic, she started with the research.
It's a lot of wading through stuff that is kind of traumatizing in a certain way, perspectives that make me feel really badly about where we're at in the world. Then I balance it out with people who are much smarter than me weighing in on the situation and trying to piece together how I can form a bridge between these two conversations.
Her first iteration of the piece was basically an op-ed.
If I was writing something for a newspaper, it would be fine, but this has to also be art, right?
She keeps three mantras in mind as she's writing. Show, don't tell. Kill your darlings.
And then the other is, art is not a mirror with which to see the world, but a hammer with which to shape it. And I try to abide by that mentality in terms of bringing activism back into the work itself.
After 2 days of researching, writing, editing, and reflecting on her own religious upbringing, she stood in front of her class and performed her poem. And it went great. The next day was that rally in Bloomington to protest RFRA. So she signed up to read the poem. Her first performance in over 10 years. The first time ever performing one of her own pieces. And all of that in front of a group of strangers.
I have embodied characters, and I have told somebody else's story and told somebody else's truth and acted that out. This is, you're naked, right? This is you completely. It's not only your performance and how you are in front of other humans, it's you, your mind, your heart, what you believe in, putting it all out there for people to love or hate or not care about at all. And that is a vulnerable position to be in. My name is Alexandria Hollett. This piece is called Blessed Are the Persecuted, an open letter to the Indiana legislature. I think, in light of the circumstances, it's appropriate to begin with a prayer. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you remember when I taught your children to read and to reason and to reveal kindness, and you thanked me for my service by accusing me of having a gay agenda? If having a gay agenda means believing in my right to continue to breathe, despite the way your mouth puckers when you look at me like I have a disease and it's catching, then yeah, I have an agenda. And since I'm a girl, and since I like girls, that probably makes it a gay one. Or remember when I went on strike and you called me a union thug? As if my ideas about fair contracts and living wages were singular, and not similar to Catholic social teaching, and not borne out by 30,000 voices screaming, one, we are the people, two, we are united, you gave me the finger from the sixth floor of your ivory tower, and I blew you my best kiss. You've called me unpatriotic, a socialist, and in the same conversation, somehow also a communist, a feminist killjoy, bleeding heart liberal, John Brown loving homosexual. And coming from you, all of those accusations are actually accolades, blessings, benedictions. Because you keep using these words, and I do not think they mean what you think they mean, and the world I dream is not nearly so smug and self-satisfied as your hands raised in the air voting yes to an idea that directly contradicts God, Matthew 25:35. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. If living the gospel were a standardized test, your school would have been closed like a long time ago. So let's try this for a turnaround. A priest I used to know told me once that there are two paths to transformation in this world, either great suffering or great love. And if that's true, then I choose the latter for all of us. And I wish you came to help and not hinder, because the choice is at your feet, and sweet as the idea of love and unity is, sometimes all I feel is bitter. It's hard to swallow a pill inscribed with the words liberty and justice for all when I also know words like Tamir, Trayvon, Matthew Shepard, Leela Alcorn, Renisha McBride. Those names are tattooed on the inside of my lungs, and every time I breathe, I claim them, and every time I speak, I claim them, and every time I do no harm but take no, I claim them, and my body is reclamation, and my power is your reckoning, so recognize this. Despite 63 reasons not to, I still choose love. I'm still here blowing kisses with my hands wide open, because I know if you don't clench your fists, then things don't get broken. Because my religion is justice and yours is just us. But with Goddess as my witness, I promise in this state I will have my gay wedding cake and eat it too. And when that happens, I will share a piece with you. Because that is what Jesus would do.